What are we studying now?
Bananas is going to, I mean, stealth is going to, we're going to stay in the offerings till we get them right.
Okay.
Well, that would be a little
break. We have
jewels.
Oh, yeah, we're going to break for some jewels. And come back to offerings.
Could do.
Okay.
You better hurt yourself with that paperclip, I know it.
It's vital for the people in here. It's vital for all of us that the apprehension of the offerings is what can give us an anchor that cannot be moved. There's been hints at it, but let me see if I can.
Chalk talk never can. You gotta give it a commentary.
He's now approaching the black room.
Just if you didn't see this. States of being that a believer goes through is sometimes called the child, the young man, the father. They can be separated into other things. Huh?
Yeah, John and I are excited because it's a child.
And if you just look at it straight in English, it separates them in just this three. That they into the child, the young man, and the father position in 1 John. If you know Greek, it separates them into four. It's the child, the adolescent, the young man, and the father. In Hebrew, it separates in all these positions of apprehension or into eight different positions. Now, the thing to know that you must know is that there is not none of these apprehensions or positions are time dependent. They're apprehension dependent, and it can be instant. It can be apprehended instantly. The only purpose of time is to pour some acid on you to see if you understand it. You got it? So here, what the world knows about is somehow your sin is pardoned. You can have some freedom. Then you begin to know there's a difference between just pardon. You're also now accepted in the brethren. And then you go more. You are in communion or true fellowship with God. These are different states of being. And they're related to the pardon is related to the trespass offering and the sin offering. The acceptance is related to the meat and the burnt offering, and the communion or fellowship is related to the peace offering. Now these, again, you don't have to know any of this to be involved with Jesus Christ. The only thing you have to know to be involved with Jesus Christ is you confess Him as your life. And for many, then, they can spend the rest of their lives hiding out in Egypt under the blood, waiting for death so the promise can come. The promise still is going to come to them if they've named Him. But oh, what they've lost in terms of a life of hiding under the blood in a house of fear and bondage. So for some, that's all they'll ever know about Jesus Christ. That's all they'll ever know about the blood. They'll keep trying it. Pretty soon they'll try to get their house full of people to come in there under the blood and hide in fear with them. And that's better than being in the world. Do you understand that? And at death, we're all going to go to the same place anyway, because there's only one left, the bride. But in the meantime, I declare and I desire that I don't want to hide out in Egypt under the blood. I want to hide out under the mercy seat. On the mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim, where the Word of God is resident. To see that completed journey, I must see not just the blood in terms of forgiveness of sin. I must not just see the sacrifice of Christ in terms of being pardoned, I must see all of the mystery. I can't. You don't have to. to go on this trip with us. And I say us because now it's a body. I knew this stuff 18 years ago. Now we're a body. Now it's an us. There's 1,000 things that I do differently and we therefore are doing differently than anybody else on the face of the earth. But it's because I have seen the position of the mercy seat. The only way I know to bring you to that position is to cause you to understand the fullness of what the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was. You understand that? Pardon, acceptance, communion, fellowship. Trespass and sin offering, meat and burnt offering, peace offering. Now let's see a little bit about offerings.
You need to get closer to that.
That's all right.
That's all right.
Under what position is this, you know, where Christ said, greater works than these shall you do?
There's only one position that the greater work can be, and that's on the mercy seat under the wings of the cherub. Because every other work will be done with self-consciousness. There's self-consciousness in every place except under the wings of the cherub and the Father position. And the Father position says, I have known him and I have been with him since the beginning. You were there when Deborah and Barak defeated the hosts. You were there when Abel's sacrifice was accepted. You were there when the perfect sacrifice was slain before the foundation of the world. Do you understand? That's the eternity position. That's the position of knowing who you are. And nothing can separate you from that certainty once you've seen it.
Yeah. When you were describing that, I flashed back to the Saturday night at Tabernacles. The ranch house was there, and it's protection. There's a bathroom, there's food, there was a TV set. You could stay in that ranch house for a long time. And then there was a twisty, turny road through the dark, and at the end of it was a fabulous, fabulous party. And it sounded like that was a perfect metaphor of what you were talking about.
Well, everything just says one story. There's only one story in the universe. There's only one parable in the universe. All things are in parables. But there's only one truth in the universe. All things are a parable of that truth. The clearest parable of the truth are the things that will cause you the most problems. Always. The nearest the light, the greater the shadows. The greatest parable emotionally that we can know of the one mystery is sex. Therefore, it becomes the thing that can cause the most problems in life.
Why I'm so confused.
The second greatest parable, or the second greatest revelator of the mystery, is Torah. And that's why it is so misused. It has to have the power of perfect revelation in order for it to be misused like it is. You understand? And it's misused every time you literalize it. Every time you say you must do this or you should do that, then you've literalized the parable and you've missed the boat. You've fallen into darkness. Now, within Torah, the greatest revelation, the greatest instrument of revelation, are the offerings. Now, they then, for the few throughout history, from the beginning of time, who saw the day of Christ, they always knew what those offerings meant. Do you think Abraham didn't know what they meant? Do you think Moses didn't know what they meant? Do you think Aaron didn't know? They were drawing pictures. They were living pictures of Jesus Christ. And those who saw, saw. They saw then, just like those who see today, see. Those who don't see, don't see. It's as simple as that. You understand? There is no way that you can get there from here except to see. If you don't see, you can't get there. Okay, so we got offerings. Book of Leviticus, full of mysterious, weird things that either they're typical and they have an abundance of meaning, or they're a waste of time. Am I feel free to interject. The offerings are a total waste of time unless they're typical. All right. One of the greatest ways that we have of recognizing, remember the offerings are trespass, sin, meal, peace, and birth. Everything that we are concentrating on right now with regard to us as a people have to concentrate, and all our energies for a minute, have to concentrate on the trespass offering. The greatest way, I had bananas last night make a list. I know, I'm sorry, I missed the list. Because the greatest way that you perceive trespass is what hurts your feelings. And so I asked bananas what hurt their feelings. I mean, you can have an intellectual understanding of a trespass, but it will be meaningless unless something hurts your feelings. Now, there were only a few, let's look at this. In Leviticus chapter 6. You understand, if I were going to list the trespasses that men do, we'd have rape, pillage, murder, stealing, robbery, thievery, all of the biggies. We'd list them all of the big trespasses, right?
Book slamming.
Huh?
Book slamming.
Closing Bibles. Okay, but let's see what God did when he talked about the trespass offering. And it's illustrative, and it's mind-blowing.
Are you working on your vocabulary?
What?
Yeah,
you're using a lot more helpful.
He speaks better than he stands up.
It's because I'm standing up and because of bananas. Bananas forces me. There's too many smart people in bananas.
I'm glad we get the message here.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord. Okay, now we're going to list the trespasses. We're going to list seven trespasses. And lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or hath found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, and any of all these that a man doeth sinning therein, then it shall be because he, etc., 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 and make the offering. Now, if I were God, I certainly would not have listed not being faithful and something was delivered to me, or as a big trespass. I mean, there's jillions of biggie trespasses here that we should have dealt with. But if you look at this thing, these lists are the things that cause you to be touched at the point where your feelings are hurt, And from these list of six or seven things, all other, what you think of as sins or trespasses, flow. Now, when in bananas, when I asked what things hurt their feelings, you remember what they were? For those of you in bananas, one is, the biggest one is to be excluded. Or left out.
Ignored.
Ignored.
Ridiculed.
Ridiculed. But all of these were subjective. In other words, as we've gone on, when they first came around here, man, all of these things, they were worried about these things from everybody. I mean, if their neighbor excluded them from a Christmas party, they felt like their feelings were hurt. But as time went on, and as we have continued on this path, less and less things in terms of people, of who it affects them in terms of getting their feelings hurt. And I'd venture to say it's the same with you. I'd venture that there's almost no one of these things that now affect you, except with one or two people. You understand what that means?
Get rid of those two people.
You remember we've talked that this is the tabernacle, this is the door of the tabernacle, this is the altar, this is the laver, this is the holy place, this is the holy of holies. Along this way, there's what we have said in these little charts we've made is there are camp followers or interested bystanders or people. All your life you've been on this track and you've always been standing here at this door. You've never left that place. But it doesn't look like that because it looked like you've been in the world or some of you have taken a few treks to Babylon. And always, you didn't know this, but you took this tabernacle with you. It never left you because it was always, it was that far away from you at all times. But as you looked around you, before you knew that, there's 60 jillion people who have come into your life and all of them hurt your feelings, for the most part, at some point. You remember when you were a little kid in school? Man, if somebody looked at you crosswise, you got your feelings hurt. There was perceived trespass from every one of them. In some way, but then as you've come into an understanding, the idea that you could have a perceived trespass came only for very, very few people. Now, is that good or bad? I don't care whether it's good or bad. But your universe has now been encompassed or circumscribed by sanctification. And so that your world, as long as you are in that world, is at peace. Fundamentally, your needs are met. There's a sense of destiny. There's just a sense of being okay. But every once in a while, something happens, and you find yourself outside that circle. And again, this is the thing. The number of people or circumstances that can cause you to be found out there outside that circle are smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. But the fact remains, you don't care who it is or what it is. If you find yourself outside that circle, you panic. Because all of a sudden, your life has absolutely no meaning. And you begin to claw and scratch to try to find a place to hold on to.
Could you do that again, please? Oh, man. I didn't catch that.
That was very interesting.
They used to bother me.
That was how our being appears spiritually when we're in that place.
Yeah.
It's.
You're right. That's a trespass.
That's a trespass.
That on your fingers.
You gotta listen to it.
I broke my finger now.
Oh my God.
Is this on the tape?
This stuff is
going to
self destruct.
He likes
the
video.
Some of us, by the grace of God, are the only word that comes to mind is lightning rods, but that's not what I want to say. We are the sensors of the body. We are the ones like, remember, you know, like a curb guard on the old cars where you're driving up, and if you get too close to it, you hear that screeching sound, and so you pull away from the curb when you're trying to parallel park. Or the purpose of the hair on your arms is to cause so that if you...
Hear rat's whiskers.
Yeah, it's a sensory thing. Now, some of us are so dull, we walk into the... But you don't understand why. You don't, you know, I don't think about it if I feel something come against the hair of my arm, but I immediately withdraw. Or if you come, you know, even that's what your eyebrows are for. You close your eyes, you blink, because you don't... The point is, they're sensors. And what it means is, they are intimately, supremely sensitive to any type of a trespass whatsoever. And when they sense the trespass, they cannot possibly get back in here by anything that they define as real. Now, they are the outs, as the body walks, or the body moves, as the church, what's the name of the church?
Church
on the move. As the church is moving, they are the ones that are at the spiritual interface. And if anything touches, then it's perceived as a break in fellowship. Now, as long as they think of themselves individually, then this will become a disaster. And as long as the body thinks of them individually, they will always be the disaster. This is what Peter was to the disciples. This is where Thomas was. This is where, obviously, Larry spends most of his time. This is where, there's some in every group. This is where Jackie is. You know, the rest of us are dullards. We're over here. We have no idea anything's going on. We're just sort of... But there's something that takes place that's here, and it becomes perceived separation, perceived abandonment, perceived exclusion, perceived all the things that can cause panic. Now, the reason and the evidence of that is these people never know quite how to deal with trespass. Any time there's a trespass, rather than understanding the trespass, they come and try to make a burnt offering. You understand?
You're toast.
Yeah. You do. That's what happens. I can show it to you in the New Testament. Rather than understand the trespass offering, the way that you know that you're exactly as you should be and you're out on that leading edge of where the body is moving is that every time you feel kind of strange, your first thing is to make a burnt offering. And if that offering isn't accepted, you can't conceive of the fact that there's still a place in the circle, in the sanctification.
You mean like try and be a burnt offering or
whatever,
mean,
they try to give one or make one or be one. There's something that, but
it's the acceptance.
Right. They try to
be, of the
right.
Trespass thing.
You understand? Does everybody at least understand a little bit what I'm talking about?
It's the acceptance instead of the pardon aspect of it.
Now, what God says to us is He has separated and caused these offerings to be so we got to go back to what it was at first. We may not know right yet all of the subtleties and varieties of all of these offerings. We may not know the intricate meanings of the different levels of apprehension based on the different kinds of animals that were offered. We may not realize when the hands were laid on, when they weren't laid on, where the blood was put, but we can know these words. We can know and experience and demand that it be among us. Pardon, acceptance, communion, and fellowship. Because no matter how much we know or don't know, we know that by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, in order to equip you for the work of the ministry, we are going to go through in intimate detail and understand the varieties and grades of each one of these offerings. But that doesn't mean that any of that is necessary for your pardon, for your acceptance, or for your communion or fellowship. But by this, as far as I know, this is the quickest way to be transfigured by the renewing of your mind, because it's the fullness of the use of Torah. Okay?
It's like when we see Him, we shall be like Him.
For we shall see Him as He is. Okay? Now let's look at trespass.
These people that get out there, i.e. Peter, Larry, whoever, what's the purpose of that? Is that so we can understand what we're talking about now better? Or you say they're the sensors, the feelers, the
In all cases.
Are they?
Yeah, what's the other flip side? If you don't consider them as individuals, something different can happen, right?
Right, and the thing that can happen is that in at the point in time in which that occurs, everything should stop.
Like spiritual transition.
Everything should stop in the body until that's dealt with. And in fact, it normally happens. But
I mean, if they're a sensor.
But that we may never know. You may never know. Why?
Just something.
But the signal is something's being sensed. Let's stop and sense it.
Right.
And deal with it.
No. Not even deal with it. Just stop.
Stopping is dealing.
Okay. But I mean, don't think that something has to be dealt with. You just stop.
When you think something has to be dealt with, that's when you go over to the acceptance.
Right, because all of this is in the here. It's all here.
Well, what does stopping mean then? I mean, you stop and
kind of wait on
sleep.
God or something.
Like a nap? Clears
up?
Well, it's impossible to define what stopping means, because what stopping means is that there was more than there's different options, or we should do this or this. If you're ever in that position, you should do this or this, then you have to wait. You stop. You do nothing. And so the manifestation of it is 1,000 different things. It's just the indicator that as an individual is guided by the cloud, i.e. if there's doubt, you wait. The body is guided in the same way that if there is, if there's weirdness, you wait.
Yeah. And in that waiting, if everything stopped, then the pressure builds up to reveal. Something.
Yeah, and we may never know. I mean, it may just all of a sudden you wake up and it's gone, or just the same as it happens individually.
It's kind of like John's stomach.
I've always found in those cases it was Gary's fault.
I think it is.
That's a good point.
I'm a high feeler.
Okay, now let's. No, that one won't. That one won't wash, Gary. You're about the same level of feeling as Harry.
Solid and stunned, the brother to the
eyes. I think the witness is obvious. But once I feel, look up.
You
feel
this. But he does feel something. Okay. Wake him up, then he'll feel it.
Go to Joshua 7.
Joshua 7, this is good. Bad conversation.
The Achan seat.
Yeah.
It's getting a little personal.
I didn't think I would enjoy that picture.
Look, the children of Israel committed a trespass
in
the accursed thing. A trespass. In all cases, whenever the word trespass is used in the scripture, it means a breaking of faith. This is the most important thing you will ever learn as a teacher. Every time there is a trespass, it's because faith has been broken. It's the Hebrew word ma'al. Now, what does it mean to break faith?
I don't know, but lying seems to be in there.
Lying breaks faith?
It has to do with...
Stealing breaks faith?
The trail of trust.
Breaking the oneness of...
Breaking of faith, listen very carefully.
Trust, right?
Listen very carefully. The breaking of faith, remember the word faith, as it, for we try to do, make we try to make belief and faith, we try to make them nouns. They never are nouns. It's always, in Greek it's pistis. And it's either faith or no faith. There is never, faith is always moving towards something. No faith is away from it. It isn't, there aren't degrees of faith. You understand that? To every man is given the measure of faith. Faith is either moving towards or going backwards. There isn't, faith is a progression, so the breaking of faith is no faith. It's the place where you have reached where you're looking at something other than the journey. You're looking at something other than the end of the trail. And it could be straight back, it could be to the side, it could be anywhere except the end of the trail. Now, if you stop, and the mystery is a body can only be formed when all members of the body are looking towards the end of the trail. If they ever stop to take a look at each other, it is a trespass because it's a break of faith. You got to hear this. It'll save you 10 million years of heartache. You look towards the end of the journey. You see its completion. You see the wings of the cherubim. You set yourself under those wings. You're moving towards faith. Your face is set like flint to go up to Jerusalem. That's the only thing that exists. There is no trespass. The moment you look sideways, look back, look at each other, trespass, a break of faith.
Is it now, like, can I ask something? Is it like we're all carrying something that we commonly held, and when I use it for myself, then I am breaking
Amen.
The trust of the whole.
And the use of it, the use for yourself may not look like it's using it for yourself.
Yeah. It's just looking at yourself.
Now, hear me. You remember what we said? There is, all trespasses are a break of faith, a ma'al. From that comes the seven things, the lying concerning, that we just read in Leviticus. And from that come all of the quote on sin or trespasses, the lying, the stealing, the murdering, the right privileges, everything. But everything, it's the pyramid. It's the antitype of the pyramid that says all the laws fulfilled in this, even, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. And then what does God require of man but three things? Amen. And then what is it? It goes from 1 to 3 to 10, the Ten Commandments. Then it goes to 613. But it's the antitype of that, you understand? That's the positive aspect. The negative aspect is the same. It's the other side of the pyramid that says that all trespass starts with a break of faith. Now, there's a jillion places. Let's look at it. Go to 2 Chronicles 29. No, I'll tell you what, never mind. Let's go to Joshua 22. No, let's not go to Joshua. We did that last night.
Well, we can write it down because it's probably 2 Chronicles.
Okay. As I said, trespass in all cases denotes nothing but a breach of faith.
With God or man, I'm a little fuzzy on this point.
Is it like both? This ain't God or man.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
It's like, but I mean, from your perspective, is it with...
That can never be different.
If you break faith with your fellow man, you've broken faith with God.
Yeah, that's why...
Oh, yeah. It's all trespasses are against God. Ultimately, or something.
It can never, ever be a difference. If there's a difference, it'll produce something other than the body. There's a difference between what you see as God and man. Remember, who was it said, "Sir, I would show me the Father," and Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." That's the whole idea that it would sufficeth us in the. Well, we must be able to say that if you've seen the body, you've seen the Son. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father, and because of that, the trespass phenomenon can't be differentiated. And you must put whatever you think and say and do up to the test. That's why I'm so anxious about this, the idea of this approach. If we could get television or Bible study back to the approach of the ancient synagogues, you know, I could have fun.
That's really what David Solomon said, against thee and thee alone. Even though, I mean, you could look at it that you'd sinned against the,
right,
the house of
the same thing where if you offer a cup of cold water in my name,
amen.
You know, you offer it to me.
Amen. Okay, I got to find Uzziah, and I forgot where he is.
Who?
2 Chronicles 26, I think.
Uzziah the Hittite?
2 Chronicles 26.
Well, is 2 Chronicles 29 a valid place?
No, well, it'll, yeah, eventually. 2 Chronicles 26. Uzziah, remember what did Uzziah do? Come on, Bible study.
Leprosy in the forehead.
Why?
Because he offered incense, offered strange, his own incense.
He brought the incense censer into the holy place. In other words, he lit his own fire. He believed that there was. Okay. Verse. Verse 16, but when he was strong, His heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed, and again, the word transgressed, he ma'al, against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And we're having a confrontation here, boys. And they withstood Uzziah. Who is Uzziah?
King.
They withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Again, you have broken faith. You have, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Okay? There's a jillion places where we could go. But most of them are in Chronicles. Most of them are in Joshua or in Chronicles or in Ezekiel. This word, ma'al, is almost used nowhere else except those places. And it's used all over Ezekiel. And it's because the book of Ezekiel is about this internal journey that we're on. It's the clearest revelation of the high place activity. And now, in here, is where the breach of faith comes. Okay, now let's go to Ezekiel. Let's start in Ezekiel 14. Okay, this verse, starting verse 12. Then the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing, again, by ma'al, by breaking faith grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. And it goes on about those three be in it, yet he will, etc., etc.
What do you mean the land?
You. You've given breath to the usurper. And you've broken faith by giving and paying attention to that which you perceive by your senses. Okay, go to Ezekiel 15. It's really the whole thing, but it's the useless vine. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? In other words, the lesson of the, as we're about to see in the lesson of Hanukkah, remember, the light of the Hanukkah can be used for nothing. You can't read by it. You can't light another candle with it. This is the biggest mistake that man uses. He tries to use this stuff. Here again, what's the vine? You can't do a damn thing with it. It's useless. The wood of it can't be used for anything. And that's what this is about. Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devoureth both the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meat for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. How much less shall it be meat yet for any work, when the fire hath devoured it, and it is burned? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will set my face against them, and they shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. Sort of like the bear. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them, and I will make the land desolate, because they have committed a trespass against the Lord. The word trespass, ma'al, a breaking of faith.
You understand, it doesn't matter how often they use the name of God. Do you understand that? I remember when I first became a believer, I'd heard 6 million different definitions of what it meant to blaspheme the Holy Spirit and what blasphemy meant. Every time I'd hear a different one. What does blasphemy mean? It's the unforgivable sin, so we better find out about it. What does blasphemy mean? What is there a difference between blasphemy of the Father and blasphemy of the Spirit or blasphemy of the Son? What is blasphemy? There was one and only one definition of blasphemy in all of Judea when that was written. And it was to deny the foundation. And how do you deny the foundation? You deny the foundation by building something else on it. Or you think it isn't sufficient.
When it says, if sin against the Son of Man, it should be forgiven you. But if you sin against the Holy Spirit, then you're in danger.
Okay, why?
The Holy Spirit reveals the foundation. I don't know.
Because the only sin, the only blasphemy, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit has but one function, to reveal the Son. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is to deny that. The revelation of the Son.
What did they mean to deny the foundation? What did it mean to them at that time period?
The birthright.
Their whole.
For them, it meant the culture of Judaism.
Yeah.
In fact, it meant the sacrificial system. Except, the Talmud that's written after, part of the Talmud, is written after AD 70. The Talmud, when it comes after AD 70, then blasphemy means denying the culture. And you remember before AD 70, if the high priest went into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur and didn't come out, or he didn't do it right, the earth was destroyed. And so it was the atonement, the Yom Kippur atoned for. Afterward, the day itself atoned. It didn't need the sacrifice.
Well, I heard a rabbi today say that somebody asked him how do they atone since there's no more temple, and he said after the first temple was destroyed, it was by faith toward God and good works toward fellow man. Is the way he described it.
Well, there are as many different beliefs about that as there are denominations in Christianity. What is it that causes? How can a Jew be saved? The Hasidim are the ones that are the wild ones. They say he can't be saved. But we keep this going for Messiah's sake.
Magically closed.
Okay, let's go to Ezekiel 17. Let's go to 20 instead. 17 is too much explanation before. You remember Ezekiel 20? It's the whole thing of faithless Israel. It's the history of rebellious Israel from the beginning to the end. And in the middle of it, in verse 27, it says, "Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed a trespass against me. And notice, a trespass constituted blasphemy. That's mind-blowing. And in fact, and it was the fathers committed a trespass. Now can you understand, begin to understand why Paul said, you know, without faith it's impossible to please him? Not faith in something that's going to happen sometime in the future, but faith on a moment-to-moment basis.
Well, if you say you love God, hate your brother,
you're a liar.
But reduces it kind of down to this point.
Amen. Now, let's go to Romans 14. We don't have to go there. You know what it is.
Is this word trespass, does it have any relationship to the word we have in English? Is it like putting your foot in land where it shouldn't be, stepping into something that you have no business stepping into?
Well, it gave it. It gave the reasons. It gave the things already in Leviticus.
Right on.
Again, trespass is to go, again, think of it. It's to, all, in every case, when the word trespass is used, it's a breaking of faith. What does that mean? It's the same thing the New Testament says. It says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Happy is he who condemneth not himself in the thing which he approveth. Have you faith? Have it to yourself. Happy is the man who condemneth not himself in the thing that he approves. The only way that is possible is in faith. Otherwise, you will always... How do you condemn yourself? You look at yourself. Do you understand that by the act of looking at yourself is the act of condemning yourself? Then why do we do it? Why do we have hot seats? To cause you to look there and see it, and see that, oh my God, I want to leave it.
To look enough so that...
They have committed a trespass, a singular trespass. What is a singular trespass? The breaking of faith. It's always been the same. Now.
There's one way I've always thought of this blasphemy is like to stop breathing. It's a breaking of that connection between you and life, and death.
It's.
I always think of it in terms of hardness of heart. That's the thing. That brings to mind whenever I feel I'm in that place.
It has as many outward manifestations as there are people. But fundamentally, it's breaking of faith. Now, the thing that we must see about the trespass offering is that it met the requirements of the trespass. Remember, in every other form of government, when there's a trespass, even if the guy gets killed or something for the trespass, then there's no justice because the person that was trespassed against hasn't received anything from it. He didn't get his goods back. That's what's matter with the American justice system.
If somebody kills somebody in our system, then they don't get their goods. That's what's wrong with it.
Well, it doesn't matter whether they kill them. If it's killed, if there's robbery, there's no restitution. So there's a trespass, there's no restitution. And if there is restitution, it's in the currency of the guy. It's a subjective currency. You know, well, I gave him this, sir. or the person that's trespassed against says, well, I want that. That's what I need to get restitution. That's what it talks about in the New Testament. It says, and he's going to throw you in prison until you've forgiven everyone their trespasses, until you then will be thrown in prison until you've repaid the very last farthing. Now, you understand, the trespass offering, the law about the trespass offering says that the restitution, that there must be an offering for the trespass, and that offering is a ram. And we'll go through this in great detail. And the hands had to be laid on and blood sprinkled and all those kinds of things. But in addition to that, there had to be restitution to the one offended, and it had to be in the currency of the sanctuary. It didn't matter whether the currency was in the one that was offended or the offender. That currency of the one offended or the offended one was not acceptable. Do you understand that you have been making give restitution with the wrong currency, and it never works. Now, what is the only, let's go, look at Leviticus 6. Go up. The trespass offering starts in Leviticus 5:14, and it goes through Leviticus 6:7. In 15, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation by shekels of silver after the shekels of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. Now, it's only the priest that has the right to make the estimation. In other words, the offended party or the one that offended him doesn't have the right. It's the shekels of the sanctuary, the currency of the sanctuary, that is the only one that can make that restitution. Now, in addition to that, then, the 20% is added to it, so that the one that's offended comes out the winner. Well, that's what we'll study. We'll get into all this next time. Do you all...
The shekels of the sanctuary is still money, right?
Yeah. But it's the shekels of the sanctuary, and it was a very specific thing that had to occur. It wasn't negotiable. It was a specific valuation that was made on the trespass in the currency of the shekel of the sanctuary. Not the shekel of Israel, not the shekel of Babylon, not gold, nothing except the shekels of the sanctuary.
Well, that meant that it had to be, restitution had to be made through the sanctuary.
No, it had to be made in the currency of the sanctuary. Yeah, it had to be made through the sanctuary.
That's why they had money changers in the temple and all that, change everything into that so it would be... Okay.
Right.
So in the spirit is the only place to take place. It couldn't be...
It had to be a picture. That's what we want to look at. We want to look at this as the moving, living picture of how that interchange took place and what it means to us today.
There's a resident belief, I think, that everybody has. And I see it with the kids all the time. But I mean, I think it's a resident belief that... You know, if somebody wrongs you, they owe you twice as much back, that it ought to be double. You know, it's fascinating that the restitution in this is, you know, the amount of the thing plus 20%. I mean, that's really, I mean, in terms of what people want to demand whenever they think they're a victim, I mean, that's really a low...
Wait a minute. What we'll see when we get into this is sometimes it's up to 700%. Mm. It goes all the way from 700% down to just a trade-off.
That's interesting.
And it is a function of your apprehension.
Yeah, because like Zacchaeus or somebody paid back...
Zacchaeus paid back 400%.
Yeah,
because he saw Christ. The moment, and what it affects, it's your willingness. It's your, as you apprehend, then you're willing to give 700% back. You understand?
And as we all know, 20% is nearly a fifth.
But the reason 20% is there is because every time a fifth or 20% is mentioned in the scriptures, it's the indicator that he who is paying it has lost the whole. In other words, when you pay the 20%, it means, it's again, another part of the mystery is that you don't own any of the stuff that you're paying the 20% on. You've lost the right to everything. And it's from Joseph, when Joseph was... When he took all the land, all the property, all the bodies belonged to him, and because of that he then demanded 20% from the people each year. Well, that from that point forward, every place in the scripture where 20% or a fifth is mentioned, it's the indicator that he that is paying the fifth has lost the right to the whole. So it's another revelation of death and the fact that Christ owns all things. And your apprehension of the trespass offering will be revealed in your willingness. You know, it's all the things in the New Testament that say, well, are you nice to your brethren only? Or do you do this? Because that's nothing. The Gentiles do that. And Zacchaeus is the perfect example. When he was the one that climbed up in the tree, remember? And
yeah. A little short guy.
He was only about 5'11". But anyway, he gave, it says, for that, he saw Jesus. And his response to seeing Jesus was for anyone he had offended, he would give 400% back, not 20%. Huh? To murder.
And then life was required for some trespass.
Amen.
Okay, but then the offering still had to be made.
Amen.
Though life was required.
The offering had to be made.
Because that person wasn't the sacrifice. That was just
the... Right. The ram was the sacrifice for the trespass. It could only be a ram for a trespass offering. And it could only be a female lamb for the sin offering. That's why Christ couldn't have been. I mean, it's a lot of a long story.
So everything that could be done outwardly was a trespass. Everything that could be.
Yeah, the sin offering, which we're studying this. Trespass offering is the first apprehended because everybody knows they screw up, and they screw up big and they screw up little. All of it's trespass. All of it had to be covered by the trespass offering and all of its grades and varieties and apprehensions. When that was dealt with, you still hadn't gotten anywhere because you couldn't get into the tabernacle until you had made the sin offering. Remember, the sin offering and the trespass offering were compulsory. You had to have, I mean, they're not, some. I'm doing good here because I'm doing this. Then once the sin offering is made for what you are. Trespass offering is made for what you do.
And the bottom line is that Christ did the restitution too.
Amen. Right?
And more.
He paid back that which the trespasser lost. I mean, and much more. But again, I beg of you that we're going to stay on the offerings till we get it right this time.
So in this thing, though, in the case of the trespass, the ram is for God. The money and the much more is for man. Is that right?
Listen
to the tape. We have to start over now.
We'll get to it. But think about the stuff we talked about tonight. I mean, see that, you know, I want us to apprehend the fullness of the Godhead. And I want us to see everything. You know. And you've for whatever reason you've been given a weird way to do it. I mean, nobody is like us that I know of. Nobody's doing the stuff we do. Nobody's paying attention to these feasts. Even the Jews don't pay attention to the ones we pay attention to. But this is the road that we're on. Amen? Amen. Take it, big guy. We'll get more into it next week.